Dead Ringers.
You're listening to Today with me, Martha Carney.
And me, John Humphreys.
The headlines. On Monday, Donald Trump landed in Britain. President Trump was here to mark the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings, where Allied troops stormed beaches filled with almost as many Nazis as his White House.
From Stansted, the president was taken by helicopter to his first major speaking event of the visit.
Can I take your order, please?
Give me the largest bucket. No, bigly bigger than that. On second thoughts, just fill up the trunk and give me some fries.
Okay, anything else?
Yes, the NHS. I'll have that to go.
The president was then quick to tweet his anger that the only US news network he could watch was CNN.
Though Trump did eventually find a channel where he could enjoy the same searing political insight as Fox News.
You know, I love CBeebies. The Octonaut's dead, soulless eyes so remind me of my children. And I choose Mr. Tumble as my next Attorney General. Screw you, Postman Pat.
As always happens on foreign visits, the president was accompanied by the Beast.
Though she still prefers to be called Kellyanne Conway. Plus a full mobile hospital, which came in handy Wednesday morning when they had to remove Piers Morgan from Donald Trump's sphincter. We are just hearing that the police have been called in to control the crowds in Westminster. We're going live to Laura Koonsberg, who's on the scene.
Yes, hello, John. It's a very, very chaotic scene here.
Let me throw.
Are the police still trying to clear the last of the Trump protesters?
No, John, they're trying to contain the sheer numbers of people standing for Tory party leader.
I, Saeed Javid, am the son of a Pakistani bus driver, so I can't be racist.
Don't listen to him. Look, I've changed my hair.
And Matt Hancock has been kettled for several hours now, and Michael Gove has been tasered, which he quite liked.
Look, I'm going to win this contest because I am the consensus candidate. Esther McVeigh appeals to the nutters on the right, Rory Stewart appeals to the oddballs on the left, whereas I appeal to every single type of Tory lunatic out there. I'm every weirdo, it's all in me.
As expected, Donald Trump waded into the Tory leadership race, though he did meet with the person who is, for the time being, still in charge of the Conservatives.
No, let me speak. The British public are sick and tired of being lied to about Brexit by Theresa May. They want to be lied to about Brexit by me instead.
Trump then publicly endorsed Boris Johnson.
This was a complete surprise. One can only speculate why the habitual liar and serial adulterer with the wild crazy hair thinks I'd make a great PM.
The president claimed to have never seen or heard of Michael Gove. Sorry, I'll just need a moment. Imagine how blissful that would be. But it was the sheer number of Tory candidates which threatened to turn the leadership contest into a farce. There were calls for those with no hope of winning to pull out, candidates like Andrea Leadsom.
Speaking as a mother, I have absolutely no intention of stepping aside. I doubt any of the other candidates thoroughly polish their silverware daily, as you never know when the vicar is going to pop in unexpectedly to discuss Trident. Now, take your coat off or you won't feel the benefit.
Even Chris Grayling threw his hat in the ring, though he missed and his hat rolled away and destroyed Coventry. People of Britain, I know what you're thinking. Hasn't she gone yet? Well, no, I'm still here. No matter how much they flush, I keep bobbing to the surface. You'll recall in my first speech on the steps of Downing Street, I promised to give hope to the hopeless, and I have. Being so bad at being Prime Minister, I've convinced even Mark Harper and Dominic Raab that they can run the country. I pledged to transform Britain, and I did. Whereas my predecessor in Number 10 was a lazy, stinking rich old Etonian, my successor, it seems, will be a clownish, stinking rich old Etonian. We have had the results of the Peterborough by-election, and that has sent a clear sign that my party must deliver Brexit. But then I always interpret everything as a sign that the public want Brexit. Losing to the Lib Dems, give us Brexit. Our disastrous showing in the European elections, hurry up and deliver Brexit. The Downing Street cat bringing in a mutilated animal and leaving it on the carpet. That's a sign, hurry up and deliver Brexit. When I see a one-legged pigeon eating a pile of sick in the doorway of a nightclub. Yes, you've guessed it, Brexit. Last night, I saw the face of Jesus in a dog's bottom. He looked astonished about the lack of Brexit. Everything is a sign you want Brexit. Raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with string. Brexit.
Hello, I'm Andrew Neil. That weird brown lump shape you get when you try to mop up coffee with toilet paper. I'm in Peterborough, universally known by everyone as the gateway to anywhere but Peterborough. And this is our by-election special. The results are in, and it's been a disastrous night for the Tories. William Hague joins me now.
Andrew, at this by-election, we Tories were hamstrung by the fact that we're crap. Utterly, totally risible in every way. By rights, we should have been chased out of town with sticks, so taking that into account, we've not done so bad. I'd like to thank everyone who voted Conservative. Thanks, Jeff, Rod, Auntie Kate.
But it was a fairly good night for the Brexit Party. Anne Widdecombe joins me now.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. Why did it have to be a by-election? What's wrong with a good old-fashioned straight election?
Anne Widdecombe, do you seriously believe you can negotiate a 500-page Brexit agreement before October 31st?
Andrew, for your information, I believe that women fall pregnant as a result of overindulgence in luxury spa treatments and excessive waxing of the vuvuzela. That gayness can be cured by the Grattan catalogue and gamma rays. So, yes, I do.
Welcome to Location, Location, Location. With me, Kirsty Allsop. I talk like the Queen and I dress like a sofa. This week, I'm in Woking, situated in the ethnic bit of Surrey, but with good train links to London, it's the perfect place for a couple on one salary. Well, Jodie and Matthew, here we are in the master bedroom of our first property. It's a good size, and not only that, but if you look in here, you've also got ample built-in storage. Oh! Oh, my... Who's that? What?
Hi there, this is Roy Stewart. I'm running to be leader... of the Conservative Party. I'm currently in this wardrobe here in the Hook Heath suburb of Woking. Going to be here for the next couple of hours. Come have a chat, challenge me, anything you want.
Well, that's this episode completely screwed. Next week I'll be with Josh and Laura in Somerset.
Oh, can I come? I don't think I've met them yet.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up later, it's Moneybox Live, and today Paul Lewis is keen to hear from anyone who, despite having an extensive portfolio of ISAs, PEPs, and index-linked bonds, still feels a gnawing emptiness deep inside them that all this money will never fill it. If that's you, then do call in. But first, it's Desert Island Discs with Lauren Laverne.
Hello. Yes, it only seems like yesterday to me, too, that it was the 90s and we were all caked in mud, raving in a field. Woohoo! Yet, here we all are on Radio 4, wearing glasses and eating biscuits. My castaway today is the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn.
It is lovely to be here, Lauren.
So, what's your first track, Jeremy?
Well, yes, that is correct, Lauren. I am very much committed to sharing my first track with the listeners by choosing that first track.
Good. And that first track is?
Look, I thought I had made myself abundantly... Lauren, look, this decision, ultimately, it is not down to me. That choice must be put to the NEC, and that will be ignored. And then we will commit to a different choice when we get to the desert island, using a vague, impenetrable system involving coconuts, bananas, and sharpened bamboo.
For the love of God, man, just get off the fence for once in your life and choose your first flipping track.
Jeremy.
Diane, what are you doing here?
Well, Jeremy, I naturally assumed that I would be the luxury item you'd be taking to the desert.
Well, actually, it was going to be a foot spa, but if you're prepared to scrape the dead skin off the base of my feet on a daily basis, then I suppose you can come along.
It would be an honour, Jeremy. There's no more fence-sitting. Labour's changed since the disastrous Euro-election results. No more putting contentious decisions off. Jeremy's first track is definitely Something Something Up the Workers by Billy Bragg.
Yes, Something Something Up the Workers by Billy Bragg. That is definitely my first record. The decision is made and will not change.
Well, thank God for that.
Actually, no, it's Touch My Bum by the Cheeky Girls.
Hello and welcome to the 10 o'clock news, and not, as I keep asking the producers to call it, Huey Hewis and the News. The Brexit Party are growing in support, not just in the UK, but also from abroad. We can now talk to the latest prominent recruit all the way from Luxembourg.
Oh, good day to you, Hugh.
President Juncker, a surprise move, some would say.
What was I to do, Hugh? Otherwise, the Brexit will never, ever end.
But by joining the Brexit Party, surely that goes against all your convictions.
I can't even remember my old views, Hughes. I've tried everything to bring on the Brexit. Favorable deals, having a warm bath, sex, eating a spicy vindaloo. Hugh. I was left with no choice. I had to join the Brexit crew, Hugh.
But you realise you're going to have to spend a lot of time with the Brexit Party.
Oh, how bad can it be, Hughie? Here they come now.
Yes, here they come. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, now I'm an MEP. There's some things we need to sort out, starting by renaming Lesbos as Straight Boss.
Oh, Hugh, I have made a terrible boo-boo, Hugh. I thought this would help, but it turns out spending 5 seconds with Anne Widdecombe is even more insufferable than Brexit. Well, on to plan number two, Hugh.
Which is?
Running to be the new leader of the Conservative Party. Everyone else is doing it. Adieu to you, Hugh.
You're watching Newsnight with me, Emily Maitlis. Legs polished like shiny brown conkers. Tory leadership favourite Boris Johnson joins me now.
Wonderful to be here. Emily, offering a positive message of hope.
With your slimmed-down physique and sensible haircut, you no longer look like you've been coughed up by a stray cat that eats lard out of bins.
As you say, I am a changed man, more measured and thoughtful.
Yes, yes, you do look and sound much more like a prime minister, but isn't there still one person who can scupper your bid?
Who? Rory Stewart? Gove?
No, the other Boris Johnson, of course.
Yes, it's me, the real buzzer, full force. With a... and a ha-ha thrown in for good measure. Look, 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 this is what the British people love. Climb aboard my Brexit clown car on fire. And let's go wacky racer style, full speed off the cliff for a glorious no-deal Brexit. Fwah, fwah.
Stop it, Bozza. I am being respectable and statesmanlike now.
Mr. Johnson, isn't the truth this new statesman like you is just an act, and the real you is a lazy, sleazy, nasty piece of work?
No. I have changed. I have a plan. One that engages with Brussels and...
Sod that, come to the dark side. we have haystack hair, dubious morals, and all the buses with outrageous lies printed on the side you could ever want.
No. Fight it.
By Jove! I think he's got it.
Coming up next, we've got Dominic Raab and his evil twin, which turns out to be just him with a different coloured tie.
Welcome to the repair shop, where much loved but broken treasures are brought back to life. Don't worry, if you haven't heard of it, means you've got a job. First in the shop today, hoping Jay Blades and the team can resurrect a beloved piece of history on its last legs, is Teresa from Westminster.
Yeah, all right, Teresa. So, now, what you got for us? What have you brought in?
Well, Jay, this is the withdrawal agreement that I negotiated with the European Union. I've brought it in because I'd like to pass it on to the next generation, but unfortunately it's been torn to shreds and trampled all over.
Oh, cool, blimey. Yeah. No, so tell me, how much did this cost you then?
Approximately £39 billion, the unity of the Conservative Party, and the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold.
Yeah, OK, all right. Well, you know, not to worry. You've come to the right place. Let's just have a look inside, shall we?
No, you can't open it.
No, yeah, you can. Just need to...
It can't be reopened. I want you to make it work, but without changing anything whatsoever.
Well, I'm sorry.
Then I want you to have it.
What, me?
Yes, please, you have to take it. Nobody wants it. Just let me leave it here with you.
Oh, well, I suppose we could wedge it under the leg of a wonky table.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, no trouble. Yeah, chuck this in the wood burner, Dom, would you?
This is the 10 o'clock news. I'm Hugh Edwards, covering Donald Trump's visit to Europe. If I wasn't grey before, I bloody well am now. We go over to the president in Portsmouth for his D-Day address.
We are here today to pay tribute to a true story of heroism and courage, to the young men who came together to fight on a beach all those many years ago in black and white for what they believed in. And if it wasn't for their sacrifice, I wouldn't be here today. I am, of course, talking about the Nazis. Now, hear me out. I know what you're going to say. Nazis are bad. But I want to say there were good people on both sides of this beach that day. Good people, and the Allies did get a bit carried away. They did want to tear down all those statues of Hitler, and that's called vandalism. Sure, if they'd won, we'd be speaking German now, but let's face it, speaking English hasn't exactly worked out that bigly great for me, so who's to say? Great job. So, in conclusion, D-Day has been a lot of fun, but next year let's have double D-Day.
You're watching BBC One. Oh, Netflix not working. Now, you've had a few weeks of relaxing Sunday evenings without line of duty. But we've got one more twist to come. So get ready for the biggest surprise of all.
Sir, why'd you call us in on a weekend?
Because, Kate, I've just been told by the higher-ups there's another episode.
Another episode? But how and why?
Because the last one was nowhere near confusing enough.
It was really confusing.
But they want it more baffling than ever. Thank God there are still so many unanswered questions. Like, am I bent? Where did I hide the money? Why put the most stressful show of all in a Sunday night? And what happened to Larkrise, to Candleford and Lovejoy? Who got to them?
Why is my hair short in one series and long in the next? Am I getting kickbacks from Tony and Guy?
Yeah. And why do I dress and sound like a six-year-old at a wedding?
We don't even know the first thing. Where is this show even set? I mean, you want to say Birmingham, but everyone's got a different regional accent. We're going to need to throw everything at this. Quick, let's use loads of acronyms.
OK, RIP the UCO that hijacked the ED905.
Is the DCC, aka H, on the QT?
We need AFOs, UFOs, MDF and WD-40. Oh, and ITV 2 plus 1.
Sir, incoming guest star.
Mighty, who in God's name are you? AC3?
I'm Hetty Wainthrop. And I'm here to restore the reputation of gentle Sunday night television. You're off the case, I'll take it from here. And I'll only investigate very soothing crimes, like a bird watcher who's lost his cagoule.
But wait, Hetty, that name begins with H.
You've got nothing on me. Now take these brown envelopes stuffed with wads and wads of Green Shield stamps and button your lips. We've got to be in Rottenstall by Tuesday and the buses aren't what they were.
Welcome back to Nigel Farage's Battle Pup. Aaron Banks pays my bar tab and I don't ask questions. Now I'm joined on the podcast by the belle of the Brexit party, the beautiful, glamorous, mesmerising Ms. Annunziata Rees-Mogg.
Salutations. Yes, tis I, Jacob, I mean Annunziata.
You know, there's something about you, Nunzi. Something I can't take my pork pies off.
Naturally. I am, after all, a vivacious, alluring woman.
Oh, one of your boobs just fell off.
So it did. That's a female thing.
Oh, might well be. Never listened to a woman before, so I don't know. But do you know something? You've changed my life, Nunno. I want to run hand in hand with you to Brussels. Take you as my plus one on question time. Quit the booze, go on holiday, get back on the booze, say sorry to the booze, drink loads more booze as an apology to the booze.
Nigel, I need to tell you something.
Annunziata, will you do me the honour?
No, Nigel, I'm in disguise.
Oh, we all are, Nunzatron. Life is a charade, but you are everything.
I was trying to court the UKIP crowd by dressing as an attractive woman.
Shh, now, love. Annunziata Rees-Mogg, will you marry me?
Nigel, it's me. It's Jacob.
Oh, well, nobody's perfect. There goes your other boob.
You're watching Sky Atlantic. Ooh, get you. Next, it's the dramatic conclusion to the TV drama of the year, Chernobyl.
All right, everyone, stay calm. This is an emergency. Comrade Akimov, get the hydrogen out of the generators and pump water into the reactor core.
I don't understand. The control rods, they're not going in. Something must have got into the reactor.
What are you talking about? Get it up on the monitor. Good Lord, what the hell is that?
Hi there, I'm Roy Stewart. I'm now... I'm here in this reactor core, just talking to people about some really important issues, really.
Oh, my God.
Car parking charges.
We can't contain him. He's everywhere.
He's going to be here for the next...
Read, pipe down. This is BBC Brecky with me, Steph McGovern. Lunch money, now. Today, I'm joined by either the bride of Chucky or Esther McVeigh.
This Tory leadership race.
Not yet. Now, you've supported school kids being taken out of LGBT awareness lessons.
Stephanie, parents know best.
Not being taught about summer doesn't make it any less real. I wasn't taught boxing at school, but I've still got a right hook that'll make your tongue fall out your back door.
I won't be silenced. Parents of Britain, there's loads of things you can do to stop your kids finding out about gay. Ban musicals on the big telly. Put a porn block on Kylie Minogue videos. Stop buying pineapples.
Pineapples aren't gay.
Come on, McGovern, it's the Liberace of the fruit world. Get it off my gammon. I just think if you find something abhorrent and poisonous, then it should be removed immediately.
In which case, security, This pan-faced Wazak's got a hot date with a skip out the back.
Who's calling? It's 3:30 in the blasted morning. Yes?
Is that Prince? We met at your mom's banquet. You looked different to how I remember in Purple Rain, but I didn't want to ask, you know.
Oh, cripes. No, Mr. Trump, it's Prince Charles. We spoke for 40 minutes about climate change.
And like I said at the time, if you're too hot, turn up the air con. Or take some clothes off. Or put an ice cube down your shorts. I call it refreezing the popsicle.
Heavens, look, I suppose we could talk about the Paris Agreement.
Oh, I saw that. Is that the one where she's doing it in the hotel room?
No, you daft bugger. I'm trying to save the world.
Like Batman?
Yes, like Batman.
You know, there's bad people on both sides in Gotham.
Look, listen to me, you great jumped-up easy peeler. The bees are dying out. The ice caps are melting. Come 2050, the now inhabitable world will be plunged into a migration crisis like never before. Together, you and I can be the change we want to. You're still thinking about Batman, aren't you?
Yeah, I was wondering if he's half bad because his mom made whoopee with Dracula. I better go and research. Bye, Alfred. You're a great butler, by the way. The best.
My gosh, what a ghastly man. Must introduce him to Papa.
And now on BBC One, it's the return of everyone's favourite psychopath. No, it's not a new series of DIY SOS with Nick Knowles. It's series two of Killing Eve. Yes, Villanelle is back.
Look at you, quivering. You're so sexy when you quiver. I got bored being obsessed with Eve. You are my new sweetheart. You're perfect. So British, buttoned up, repressed, and dead inside. Fancy being seduced into an erotically charged dance of death?
My goodness. Well, I'm game if you are.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Culshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Harth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bug, Max Davis and Simon Alcock. It was a BBC Studios production and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.